An old man sat with his grandson by the campfire, staring into the dancing flames. With a sparkle in his eye, the old man looked at the young boy and began telling him a story. He said that there's a fight going on inside of me between two wolves. One is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He's joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And the same fight is going on inside of you, inside of every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old man fell silent, and then replied, the one you feed. And while the story might give you the chills, it also connects to a very important idea developed in this week's Parsha. There's a very deep principle in Jewish thought that the most fundamental aspects of Torah are expressed in the most deceptively simple manner. And our job is to delve into them and see the inner depth behind it. There's probably no single object in the Torah which is more overlooked than Moshe's matzah, the staff. It plays such a pivotal role in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And yet, how often do we ponder or talk about its nature? The matzah first appears at the snag, the burning bush, and it turns into a snake. And once again, in Paro's court, the matzah turns into a snake. So in Jewish thought, the snake represents the Yetzer Hara, evil. So it would appear as if the matzah represents evil. Yet, the matzah is also used to perform all the makos in Mitzrayim, as well as Kriyas Yamsuf, the pinnacle of the Jews' miraculous and transcendent experience. And furthermore, the Midrash explains that Hashem's name itself, Yudkei Vavkei, was crystallized into the matzah. So it therefore appears as if the matzah is a very spiritual object, the exact opposite of the evil it seems to represent. So which is it? Does the matzah represent the ultimate good or the ultimate evil? So in order to understand this, we must first develop a fundamental principle. Nothing in the physical world is objectively good or evil. Everything has the potential to be used for either good or evil. The choice is solely up to you. I'll give you an example. Electricity is neither good nor bad. An outlet can be used to charge your appliances, but it can also give you an electric shock. And obviously, the more power, the more it can be used for the good or the bad, which we'll develop in a minute. But the same applies to money. It can be used to enable Torah learning, but it can also be used to fund destruction and chaos. A charismatic personality can be used to inspire others to grow or to seduce them down the wrong path. Everything in this world is merely potential, waiting to be used. Evil, therefore, is really the misuse of potential when we choose to use an object for something other than its true purpose. Evil is the breakdown and corruption of the good. This is why the Hebrew word for evil is ra, which literally means brokenness or fragmentation. Evil is the breakdown of truth. It's the breakdown of something good. The reason why Hashem created the world in such a way is so that we can have free will. We get to choose whether to use things for their true purpose, actualizing their potential, using them for the good, or to misuse them, getting pulled into the clutches of evil. And the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Samach Tesam Beis, gives an intriguing illustration of this principle. The Gemara describes the historic transition where prophecy ended. When the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah tried to abolish the Gates of Hara for Avodah Zarah, for idol worship, the Gates of Hara came flaming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Now, why would the source of evil and corruption come from the highest and most transcendent place? We would expect it to emerge from underground or erupt from a volcano, not come from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's going on? But we can understand this peculiar location based on the very idea we just developed. The root of evil is deeply connected to good. Evil is simply the misuse of the same energy that could and should be used for the good. The evil desire for Avodah Zarah is a corruption of the spiritual desire to transcend and connect with Hashem. So when correctly manifested, this desire is used for nevuah, for prophecy, a deep experiential oneness with Hashem, the source of everything. But when corrupted and used for Avodah Zarah, we take that same desire to transcend, but fail to trace ourselves back to the root source, Hashem himself. That's what Avodah Zarah is. It's not going back to the source. Now, to really understand Avodah Zarah, we need to give a whole shiur in that itself. And additionally, why the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah felt the need to destroy our desire for Avodah Zarah, which also caused the end of Nevuah, this also requires a much longer discussion. But now we need to talk about that important concept, which is the more power there is, the more potential there is. Once we've already established that everything in the world has potential to be used for the good or for evil, it's also important to realize that the more power there is, the more potential there is. For example, a 220-watt outlet can either charge your phone or give you a small electric shock. But 20,000 watts can either light up your neighborhood or electrocute you. The more power, the more potential. Of course, this results in an important principle, which is the value in any power is only in as much as it can be controlled. Otherwise, the more power you have, the more destruction you have. As we often see with nuclear energy and money. I mean, just think about giving a child the power to cross the street by himself. When do you give him such a power? Only when he has the ability to control it. To know when not to cross the street. The value of power, the value of potential is only in as much as it can be controlled. And now, we can begin to understand the Mata. The Mata is neither good nor evil. What it will be is solely up to the one who holds it. It represents the Nachash, the snake of evil, but it also represents Hashem and spirituality. When in the form of evil, it causes Moshe to run away in abject terror. But when in the form of good, it causes the world to witness the miracles of Hashem. The Matos, Kriyas Yamsuf. But we can develop this theme a little bit further. Let's take it the next step. The Midrash compares Mitzrayim and the Nachash to a bent path, while the Mata is compared to a straight path. So what are the concepts of a bent or a straight path? What do they refer to? So imagine you're walking down a path, and whenever you turn around, you can see exactly where you came from. What if the path suddenly bends and takes a sharp turn? When you turn around, you can no longer see the origins of your journey. The same is true of the physical world we live in. Originally, the physical world loyally and perfectly reflected its spiritual root. When you looked around, you saw and experienced Hashem. You knew that He created the world. It was like looking back down a straight path where you can see exactly where you came from. However, after Adam's sin, the entire world fell. The world became a bent path, whereby we can no longer see where we came from. The Nachash bends and slithers, representing a bent path, a world of evil and brokenness, where you can no longer see Hashem. The Mat represents a straight path where you learn to trace yourself back to your source. When Moshe first encounters Hashem, he is told to thrust the matzah to the ground, where it then transforms into a snake. Because when something is thrust to the ground, low and distant from its transcendent source, and misused, it becomes bent. It becomes evil. But when Moshe lifted it up towards the sky, tracing it back to its source, straightening the bent path, it became a matzah. It became good. And we can use this deep explanation of the bent and straight path to understand Moshe and Aaron's showdown with Paro. The Midrash explains that when Moshe and Aaron turned their matzah into a snake in front of Paro, he laughed. Not only did he proceed to do this himself, but he then brought in his magicians to do it. He even brought in his wife to do it. And to really prove his point, he proceeded to bring the school children to do this as well. Laughing at Moshe, he exclaimed, "One who has goods to sell should take them to a market which is short on supply. You've brought your goods to an overstocked market." In other words, Paro is saying that we are not impressed. And Moshe responds, "One who has the top quality produce takes it to a well-stocked market where the dealers are experts and will recognize the superior quality of the goods." On that note, Aaron and Moshe's matzah swallows all the other snakes once it already turned back into a matzah. Now, the deeper explanation of this, and this cryptic scene, is not just that Moshe overcame Paro and Mitzrayim, because remember, the Midrash explains that the snake and Mitzrayim represents the bent path. The matzah represents the straight path. It doesn't say that Moshe and Aaron's snake swallowed Paro's snakes. It says that their matzah swallowed their snakes, meaning the straight path overcame the bent path. Good overcame evil. Now, the principle of the straight path and bent path is also the secret behind tzitzis. Tzitzis are only required on a cornered garment. It is only when the garment ends and begins to bend that we are obligated to put tzitzis on those corners. The straight lines of the tzitzis straighten the bent path of the garment. Thus, the tzitzis represent our ability to source ourselves back to Hashem, even on a bent path. The different details of tzitzis beautifully reflect this idea. We wear tchelas, strings which are dyed a beautiful ocean blue color, to trace ourselves back to the ocean blue, then to the heavens, to Shemayim, then to the Kisei HaKavod, and ultimately to Hashem Himself. The gematria of tzitzis is 600, and when you add the 8 strings and the 5 knots, you get 613, representing the 613 mitzvahs we use to connect ourselves to Hashem. And just some food for thought, some homework for you to do it for yourselves: the mitzvah of mezuzah, which lies bent on the doorpost, and the copper snake on the matzah in the midbar, which overcame the magefa, the plagues. Both of these also connect to this deep topic. Now, they're beyond the scope of this current shiur, but it's something for you to think about. What's the deep connection? But everything in our world is potential that can be used for good or evil. This is the deep idea of the bent path and the straight path. The choice is yours. Just like those two wolves living inside of us, you get to choose which one you feed. The pull and temptation of desire can be overwhelming, but the beauty and oneness of truth must overcome, persevere, and prevail. We get to choose who we become. So let's be inspired to straighten the bent path, to build clarity from confusion, oneness from brokenness, and bring the world to its ultimate destination. Let's all straighten the bent path.